Welcome back to the Hearing Suite podcast here in Harrogate. We're here with episode 4 today, all about technology. Once again, I'm joined by Director of Audiology here at the Hearing Suite, Emily Woodmansey. Emily, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having us.
It was very great to speak to you last month. If you haven't heard our episode on tinnitus, do go back and listen to that. That was during Tinnitus Week and how you can find out more if you do suffer with tinnitus. But today, we're all talking about technology.
Yes.
Very exciting topic because we mentioned quite a few times in the previous podcast that hearing aids have come on so much, even just in the short time that you've been in the audiology industry, Emily. Do you want to tell us a bit about, first of all, what sort of equipment you have here at the Hearing Suite? Because there's a lot around us and it looks very high tech for the layman, but just describe what are sort of the most commonly used pieces of kit.
So just in terms of our testing kit, we always use ENT microscopes to look in ears. They have such high magnification that once you've been lucky enough to look through them, you can't go back to the head loops or an iPhone or the little handheld ones. So we have those. We have testing booths with all the, we call it audiometry equipment in. And that means that we can do your regular hearing testing that you might have done, you know, the whole press the button every time you hear a sound.
Yep.
And then we can do more complex testing, speech and quiet, speech and noise. Cochlear dead region testing, you can get really fancy and start looking a bit more into the auditory system to see what's going on. So that's your kind of testing technology. And then we're sitting in the blue room. So as I look over your shoulder, I can see a fair few different pairs of hearing aids that can do a range of different things depending on what we need from. Some of them have fall detection in them, Bluetooth capabilities, all sorts of hearing aid magic.
They're amazing, aren't they? And they're connected to sort of people's habits in life, lifestyle habits. So connected to your phone by Bluetooth, as you said there, and you can control them using that, which is, it must be so exciting for you. So just tell us, how long have you been in the audiology industry and sort of what the time scale is between then and now?
Totally. So I came into audiology in 2007.
Right,
so
okay.
What's that?
16 years now. 16 years. You don't look old enough.
Oh, thanks. So yeah, 2007. And whilst digital hearing aids kind of were born into the world, well, predominantly into the NHS in the year 2000, even in 2007, we were still being taught to adjust analog hearing aids. So I don't know if you can picture an analog hearing aid. They're the ones often used in those awful stock images.
Yes.
And you could have them low, mid or high. And you adjusted that with one of those flat-ended screwdrivers.
Amazing.
And they were your settings. Yeah. You could get more powerful ones, but yeah, we were really limited in what we could do. We could just make things loud. We couldn't tailor with those old analog aids.
But now you really can, to the specific individuals, different hearing ailments. As you said behind me, there's quite a few little hearing aids that we can put images online about. Just describe to us what are sort of more common ones that we tend to see. You mentioned on the previous episode the Lyric, which we've done a feature on the radio before, but just tell us what are the sort of more common ones you see amongst your patients here at the Hearing Suite.
Totally. So I'd say, well, the six big hearing aid manufacturers. And when we're looking at those, I usually pick or suggest a hearing aid manufacturer based on somebody's hearing loss itself, because somebody who would suit a Widex hearing aid, for example, might not suit Phonak, or someone where we think Starkey's the way to go, Oticon might not be right. So I'd look at the manufacturer and the hearing loss and then start pulling in the features around that, because features are important, but we need to get people hearing well first. So say we thought someone's hearing loss was appropriate for Starkey and they had relatives that were concerned about them living alone and maybe stumbling a little bit at home, they would be a great choice because of the fall detection in them. They're actually assessing your gait, and studies show that people's gait changes in the weeks before a fall, and it sends notifications and alerts to loved ones if there was a problem.
That's amazing.
Incredible.
It really is. It must be so exciting for you to see this sort of technology come to the fore and the advancements, because it seems to be happening on a yearly basis almost.
Totally. I'd say it's real kind of health innovation. Most hearing aid manufacturers release every other year. Some of them not quite so quickly and others a little faster. But yeah, there's certainly, you know, There's Phonak hearing aids that will read your blood pressure. You know, that they're really pushing into this like health market. Not only are we kind of improving the hearing, but we're keeping you well for longer as well, which is exciting.
Yeah, that's amazing. And as we said before, it sort of ties in with people's habits and using phones and being able to do that sort of thing. And one thing that we've touched on before as well is the ability of technology to help zone in on a certain conversation. So if you're someone that suffers a bit with your hearing and you're talking to someone, say in a crowded room at a party, for example, it helps block out sort of the background noise, doesn't it? Which I think is absolutely amazing. How on earth it does that? I struggle to do that just normally sometimes, but totally. It's amazing, the advancement technology.
It really is. It really is. And I think, because we can do the advanced testing at the start, we know exactly where we are. So for example, some people's brains are better at processing in noise than other people's. So when we're armed with that information, we can then look at the noise reduction within different hearing aids and think to ourselves, right, say this person's not great at hearing in noise, we've got hearing aids with reasonably aggressive noise reduction, do we need a nice little remote microphone as well, so that, you know, when they're in the car and someone's talking to them, yes, we're focusing on what's being said, but also there's this kind of secondary assistance that the microphone, that they're getting that quality of sound without it having to compete with the engine noise and that sort of thing.
And talking about how far hearing aids have come, as you said before, those horrible stock photos, You imagine a huge thing on someone's ear.
Ear trumpets.
Yeah, exactly that. But now they're almost, you cannot see them, can you? They're almost invisible to the human eye because they're sort of tucked away and they're really quite subtle. And yeah, so that must be quite a common thing for people, that they want these sort of new ones that people can't really notice they have them.
Definitely. And when I'm talking to somebody about their hearing, I'll always say to them, which is most important, the sound quality we can get from something or the way it looks? Because if we're honest, we all have a preference. We'll all compromise to an extent. So
do you get quite varying answers then to that question?
Yeah, massively. Yeah. I'd say probably a 50-50 split.
Wow.
Yeah, definitely. But sometimes people will say, the way it looks is the most important. I'd actually compromise on sound quality for something that was more discreet.
Wow.
And then I show them what I would call like my audiologist's choice, because I really believe that people have to have a hearing aid they're prepared to wear.
Yeah.
Because I can say to them, this is exactly the technology for you, this is what you need. But if you're not prepared to wear that, what's the point?
Exactly.
So I'll say to them, this is audiologist's choice. And they're like, wow, that's tiny. And I'm like, yeah, it is. This is tinier. But actually, we're not talking big hearing aids anymore. No. They're a bit of a thing of the past.
It's not going to be chalk and cheese. I know there's some people that think, oh, I really don't want one that people can see. But like you said there, it's only going to be maybe a tiny difference to another one that
totally
you can't see.
And there are big movements out there of people who are embracing and celebrating their hearing loss, wearing beautiful, brightly coloured hearing aids covered in glitter and gems. And it's amazing that in 2023, you know, people want to do that. But I think a lot of the people I see, discreet is what they're looking for. They want to forget that they've got a hearing loss. And with hearing aids today, they really can do that.
It's always an exciting time in the audiology industry if there's a new fashionable piece of kit
really
that comes
is.
Out. Is there anything that you can sort of tease us and give us a bit of a preview about that maybe you're personally excited about, or anything
totally
coming up that you think that people will see is quite popular?
Definitely. So there's usually rumbles in the industry when something's coming. We were caught off guard last year. I honestly thought one of the manufacturers was going to release a new remote control, and they released a whole new hearing aid platform out of nowhere.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Caused a stir in our little audiology world. So the thing that I'm most excited about that's kind of on the horizon comes from a company called Widex. So Widex, until recently, was family owned. They're now part of the WS group. And they are their products are beautiful. Their hearing aids are really, really well made. They've always been a family of engineers. So that side of it, the technical excellence has always been there. But they're environmental as well. So their production facilities are completely wind powered in Denmark. But what they're poised to release is this tiny little microphone. So much, much smaller than we've ever seen before, that people will be able to clip onto themselves, but also that would sit in the middle of a table. So the things we've got out on the market at the moment, They're quite high in price. They're clever, but they're high in price. And they're quite big, sitting on a table. People would kind of say, like, what's your flashing coaster? But this is kind of the size of a button. Would just sit, really subtle. Yeah. And just helps as a distance solution for if listening in noise is really challenging. But we think it'll also connect to the TV. And it looks like it could have some backwards compatibility. So for us, usually when a new gadget's released, it only ever works with the newest hearing aids, which is really annoying. But it looks like it might go back a bit as well with some of the legacy products. So that would be exciting.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? As you mentioned before, there's always people working in the background to bring out the new thing. And it's always advanced and always much, well, maybe not much better, but it's a step on from what's out on the market at the moment. So if it makes it smaller and more subtle, then it's going to be obviously more popular. If there are people that are listening that maybe do suffer with hearing loss or want to find out what technology is available and maybe want to compare a few, as you said there, it's down to the Definitely. Person if they want to hear better or they want it to look better or a bit of a mix of both. What's the best way for them to get in touch? Is it as easy as booking a slot with you, Emily, and just coming and having a look what's available?
Absolutely, yeah. So we just do a consultation. It gives us a chance to look at what people's hopes are, see what their hearing levels are like, put that kind of picture together, and then we just let people try things. So I always think I can make things sound good in here, but you need to hear Stella at bridge, you know? How does she sound? And you know, it's about taking it home, having a play around with it for a week, coming back, making some changes, and then having it for another week or so. Sometimes we'll even send people off with a couple of bits of kit so they can compare and contrast them, really have a good experiment with them.
Perfect. We'll put all that information on the show notes today. But thank you very much, Emily, for joining us, episode 4 today. We'll be back next month with another podcast here at the Hearing Suite in Harrogate. It'll be available on yourharrogate.co.uk and in the usual places you find your podcast.